Good evening, everyone. Tonight I'm going to talk about the two beautiful sacraments. How many sacraments we have?
Seven.
The first one is baptism. The second one is confirmation, and then the Eucharist, reconciliation, anointing of the sick. That these two sacraments will be today. We'll be talking about these two sacraments and the sacrament of Holy Order and marriage, matrimony. Yes. Pope Francis, just at the very beginning of his pontificate, when he became Pope, said beautifully about the sacrament. Let me quote his words. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking His mercy. God is never tired of forgiving us. God forgives us always. There's a kind of a saying, God forgives us always, no matter what. As soon as we come back to Him, as soon as we confess our sins, show our pity, or the sorrow, yeah, because of our sins, God always forgives us. Human beings sometimes, yeah, people like people, sometimes forgive, sometimes don't. And our Mother Nature never forgives us. Yes? Whatever we act against Mother Nature, she fights back. Yeah? Is it true? Mother Nature never forgives us. Let's start what is the definition. Reconciliation or penance. We use two both words, terms. Reconciliation or penance. Penance is a sacrament of healing in which Jesus Himself, through the action of the priest, forgives the sins committed after baptism. So this is a sacrament of healing in which Jesus Himself, through the action of the priest. So in this way, God restores His bond, His relationship with us, after we have broken it by committing sin. And we have two kinds of sins. Mortal sin. Sometimes we use a word grave sin. Or venial sin. Mortal sin breaks the Ten Commandments. So this sin, grave sin or mortal sin, causes that our soul, so to speak, is like dead. It's dead to eternal life. There's no God's life in us. Because of this sin, we turn away from God. We cut off ourselves from God and from the community of the church. This sin causes that our relationship, because we have vertical and horizontal relationship with the community of the church. Vertical, between me and God, and horizontal, between me and other brothers and sisters in community. Yes? So I cut off myself. So there's no life, spiritual life in me. I am spiritually dead. That's why we use this word, grave sin. Grave, what is a grave? Yeah? What we put in a grave? The dead people, yeah? So, my life, my soul does not produce, you know, any good in me. And because of that, because my relationship is broken with God and with the community of the church. In that case, we need to come back to God. Yes, like the prodigal son. Have you heard about the story about the prodigal son from the New Testament? Yeah, this older son left his father. He left his brother, his family, and he went to a distant place. So he separated himself. He made this choice. He separated himself from his family, and he lived not as he lived. Yeah. In the beginning he had a good time. He was, because as long as he had money, yeah? But do you know what happened to him? when he squandered all his money with prostitutes, maybe buying drugs, buying alcohol, whatever. Yes? And he ended up with pigs. Yeah? And he even wanted to eat what the pigs ate. Imagine his pitiful situation. For a Jewish boy to eat what pigs ate, this is kind of unheard of. And the situation was not a very dramatic situation. And of course he was separated. What the father did at this moment, at that time, during this long period of time of a separation, he waited, he prayed, he watched for, yeah? He just was standing at the threshold of the house looking, you know, around, maybe my son is what? Coming back. Yeah? He was waiting. His heart was full of pain. And he was so anxious each day, yeah? This anxious anxiety grew in him. Perhaps today, I will see my son back. And this one moment came, one day came, that in the distance he saw his son coming back. And what the father did? He ran towards him, yes? And he grabbed himself, and he welcomed him back with so much joy. And what he said? Let us rejoice, he said to his other son and to other guests, yeah? Let us rejoice, let us have a banquet because my son was dead and now he is alive. See? That's a sin. He was dead. Sin causes death, spiritual death. And sometimes sin leads us even to, you know, physical death. Yeah? If we commit serious sins like using alcohol, drugs and killing people and so on, it causes also physical death. Yeah? And definitely, but the most important or the most tragic situation that this sin may cause eternal death. Yeah? If we die at the state of mortal sin, grave sin, and we still having the stubbornness of our hearts, not wanting to come back to God, we may put ourselves in a very dramatic situation that we can choose eternal life without God. So we put ourselves where? In hell. In hell. It may happen. Now, as long as we live, we may always come back to Jesus. And so the prodigal son comes back home. He was dead, perhaps for many, many years. Yeah? But as soon as he decided to come back home and welcomed by his father and forgiven by his father, he became alive again. And that's a confession it's all about. I am dead and now I'm alive. So there are some sins that cause us this spiritual death. Serious sin when we break the Ten Commandments. Such as killing, stealing, all kinds of sexual activities, yeah? Hating people, betraying God, turning away from God, from the church, yeah? When we have in the pamphlets you have the Ten Commandments, yeah? When we, for example, the grave sin could be what? When I stop believing God, when I turn away from Him, when I deny His presence or question His love, reject His love, yeah? When I lose my trust in God. But it is kind of definitive, my decision. Of course, when we curse God or blasphemy, sin of blasphemy, and I put my heart into it. Yes, that's a grave sin. When I do not go celebrate holy day of obligation, which is a Sunday. Yes, if I have a chance to opportunity to go to Mass, but I don't go. Instead of going to Mass, I prefer party. Yes, now of course it is grave sin. when I didn't hate my father and mother, yes, and I do it deliberately, yes, and I foster this feeling against my parents, yeah, when I don't want to talk with them, I don't want to visit them, that might be a grave sin too, yeah, of course, sin of when I kill someone, yeah, an adult, or it could be abortion. Abortion is, of course, a grave, very serious sin. Of course, adultery, yes, when I betray my spouse, yeah, when I steal money. Of course, if I steal 1 cent, is it a grave sin? No, not much, yeah. It is a sin, but it's not a grave sin. But if I steal sufficient enough money, that's because of that, someone is hurt, yes, and that might be a grave sin. Yeah? When, for example, I steal money from a mother who has 2 children, and because of the situation, she cannot feed them. Yes, that's a big damage. So you have to consider what damage, yeah, spiritual, physical, emotional, psychological damage this sin causes. Bear witness, false witness against a neighbor. So, for example, if I bear false witness against my neighbor, and because of that, I destroy someone's reputation, or because of this, someone suffers a lot. That is a grave sin, yeah? When I'm, of course, this is connected with the sixth commandment, when I covet the neighbor's wife, of course, it is a sin. And to also cover the neighbor's goods. So because of that, I foster myself the sin of greed. And because of that, yeah, I can so lose my heart, lose my soul, yeah, because I can waste my whole life, yeah, and in order to gain material things. But what Jesus said, what profit you have, what benefit you have, if you gain the whole world, but you can lose your soul. Yeah, you forget, even if you gain the whole world, but you can lose your soul. So, of course, it's always a question, some people ask, is it a grave sin? Sometimes we do not know. So it's good, that's why in confession it's good to ask a priest. Yeah, or you may ask a priest before or after confession, Father, how should I look at this function, yeah? Is it a sinful or not? Yeah? So it is a great opportunity also to have a conversation with a priest. But there's some sins that separate us from God. They make a huge damage, yeah? Damage in us and in our brothers and sisters, and also in the community of the church. Because we are connected vessels. We are connected vessels. So if I, as a member of the community, fall into sin, it affects the whole community. Even if it is sin committed by myself, yeah, and it's not a public sin, but even individual, personal sin, but also somehow, in a spiritual way, it affects my whole community of the church. That's why we need to be reconciled. And with the community of the church, and it may happen through the ministry of the priest who represents the community at this moment. Yes? So, there are some sins that are not grave, not serious. They come from our weakness. So, if you, for example, get impatient, angry, but you know, in your heart, you still wish good, well, to this person, yeah? But it is your temperament, yeah? You get angry, upset, sometimes you can even use a swearing, yeah? And so, don't panic, it is not a grave sin, yeah? No? Because unless the sin causes scandal, but if it is some, sins that usually come from our weakness, we call them venial sin. It is like I use this image of a branch, you know, of a tree. So if you have the mortal sin, you know, we separate the branch, cut off a branch from a tree, and if you put it aside, what happens to this branch? It withers, yeah, dies out slowly because of lack of this connection, yeah, with a tree or with a bush. But there's a branch that you can break a little bit, but it's still somehow connected, yeah, with a tree. So still can draw, yeah, strength and sap, yeah, from the tree. So can survive, yeah, can survive. It weakens our relationship with God. It can weaken our relationship with the community of the church. But still, we are the members of the church. Yes. But by committing the pit to the venial sin, it may lead us to mortal sin. Yeah? So if we do not pay attention, if we do not work on ourselves, if we do not make any sacrifices and spiritual exercises, even venial sin somehow can slowly, gradually can build kind of wall between me and God and the community. Yes? That's a venial sin. We are, if we go to confession, first of all, we have to confess mortal sins. Yes? And if you commit mortal sin, if we commit mortal sin, because I cannot exclude myself also, because I go to confession too. So if we commit mortal sin, we need to confess what it is, to name it, and to say how many times, more or less. Sometimes it's difficult to remember, and you can say, a few times, once in a while I do it, or maybe I did 5, 6, or 10 times, or 1 time, yes? So in case of mortal sin, we need to say how many times, more or less. If you don't remember exactly how many times, don't pull out your hairs because of that, and fall into panic. My goodness, I don't remember. Was it 27 or 28 times? I don't remember, yes? Now, you can say about 20 times, yeah? The idea is, because that gives the first idea, are you addicted to the sin or not? Why we say the number? Because that shows how weak you are, yes, in this area of your spiritual life, and shows a kind of like addiction. Yeah, we may commit a sin only once in our life, a grave sin, and that's it. But we try to stay away from it. But there are some sins that we can commit many, 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 many times. So we call, in this situation, we call this what? It is my addiction. It is my addiction. Especially in a sexual area. Yes? In sexual area. A sin of masturbation, for example. So that might be addiction to, yeah? Or watching something, yeah? Addiction could be stealing. Yes? Could be stealing, too. Addiction could be drinking alcohol, yeah. Could be using drugs, whatever. Yes, addiction could be also a gossip. Mm-hmm. It's not, and this note is not only directed to women, also to men too. Mm-hmm. Yes, so addiction could be a gossiping. When it's difficult for me to restrain myself from talking always about not me, but about others, about my neighbors. Could be the addiction too. Yeah? So we can be addicted to sin, to a sinful situation, action, sinful action. So that's why we need to say how many times, more or less, we say, we do that, we commit it. And in this way, the priest can help us to give us a little direction or shows us a certain way how to overcome temptations to this sin. Jesus knew that we were weak. This is why he left this beautiful sacrament. So, like Saint Therese of Avila said, we should not be surprised that we commit sin. Rather, we should be surprised that we do not. Yes? So if we commit sin, that's who we are. We are sinners. I am a sinner, and I bet you are a sinner too. Yes? Yeah, but we can be a great saint. Because who is a saint? I like this definition of a saint. A saint?
One who's not
a mortal sinner. No! No, it's not true. No! A saint is a sinner. A saint is a sinner. First of all, a sinner who opened himself or herself up to divine mercy, to God's mercy, in a perfect way. Because we have kind of naive image or picture of a saint. A saint, someone who never committed sin, who is always prayerful, always focused on God, having his eyes on Jesus, and never, always smiling, always doing beautiful charitable things. Huh. A saint is a sinner who, by keeping coming back to Jesus, led Jesus to live in him or in her. And that's that as a consequence of that, if we let Jesus to live in us and through us, yeah, Jesus who is saint, who is holy, can live in that person. And that person, a sinner, still a sinner, becomes a saint. Not because of his or her perfection, but because of the holiness of Jesus. And that's a totally different picture of a sanctity we have. So for example, like someone who was addicted, let's imagine a sinful person for many years, for maybe for most of his life or her life, struggled with all kinds of sins. But at the end of his life, he opened himself to divine mercy and God entered this person. That person may become, can become a saint. And we'll be surprised after our death who is in heaven. We'll be surprised. Yeah? Good thief. At the last moment, one of the beautiful examples, actually the first saint canonized by whom? Not by the Pope. By Jesus himself. Recognized by the church as the first saint was a thief. Good thief. A bandit. A criminal. A criminal. He became a first saint. Canonized by Jesus himself. Today, you will be with me in paradise. So God shows us the direct direction, yeah? Who can be a saint? Okay, Jesus was, when he was crucified, at the same time was two thieves crucified, yeah? Because the Romans crucified many people. So when Jesus was sentenced to death, not only him, but also the two other criminals were sentenced. Probably they were sentenced to death because they wanted to broke a kind of revolution. And they were captured and crucified with Jesus. And one of them, they both, according to Saint Luke, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they both cursed God at the beginning. But something happened to one of these guys, good thief. When he turned to Jesus, and he knew who Jesus, probably he knew who Jesus was, and he turned to Jesus, imagine this, in a painful situation, because he, more or less, he suffered the same way like Jesus did. Yes? So he turned to Jesus, and what he asked to Jesus, remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. So he recognized that this man, who was crucified next to him, yeah, was a son of God. So this moment, probably this man didn't, maybe it was his last chance. Okay, maybe it is my last chance. Yeah, for my salvation. Yeah, and he turned to Jesus and recognized in Jesus, remember me when you enter, when you come into your kingdom. So don't forget about me. Because I deserve this punishment. I am a sinner. Yes. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Such a beautiful moment. Today. So in a few hours, actually. You know? It is something that we have to understand, that this sacrament of reconciliation, of penance, is given to us as a tool, as a means, which is to help us to open ourselves in a perfect way to God's mercy, God's forgiveness. It is not a sacrament for getting rid of my weakness. Quite often we complain, Even speaking for myself. When I go to confession, I say, at that moment, at the end of my confession, I say, I promise not to do it again. But in a few days, I do it. Yes? I do it. Yeah? Because why? Because the sin of pride is in me. This confession does not solve all my problems. And still, I'm forgiven. But because of the original sin, my inclination to sin is still in me, remains with me. Let's imagine that a sin of pride is a root. Yeah? Because of the roots, and then what in confession we cut off what is above the ground. Yes? We cut off the green stuff, yeah? Yeah? The stem or whatever, the fruits, whatever, yes? We cut off. But the roots are still there. Yes? Still rooted in my heart, in my mind. So let's not be surprised that that sin comes back to us. Because the inclination to evil still is with us, will still remain in us to the end of our life. To the end of our life. So that's why we need to keep coming back to Jesus. And He Himself, only in His own way, we do not know even how. Because it is He's a physician of our soul. He knows how to pull out these roots, how to uproot, yes, the sin from us. We do not know. One of the beautiful stories, when we remember that the servants were surprised that besides the good seed, the wheat, yeah, what was coming out, also they noticed what they didn't notice. The wheat. The wheat comes out. They were surprised. And they wanted to what? Pull out. They wanted to separate the wheat from wheat. Yeah? They wanted to clean up this ground, you know, this soil. And what Jesus said, what the master said, let them grow both. Because you may destroy the good seeds. You may destroy the good wheat also. So it is only God knows how to do it. Does not mean that we should not fight against sin. Does not mean that we can commit sin. That we should give permission to ourselves for committing sins. No, we should do all our best to fight against temptation, to resist temptation, to overcome temptations, to eliminate our sins. We should do our best. But at the same time, we know that we may fall to sin again. We have to be humble. We have to be humble in the presence of God. Yes. Even for a long, long time, if you are successful, finally, this sin I overcame with this sin. I know how to resist this temptation. Finally, I dealt with this situation. Don't be surprised that tomorrow you will fall again. You will fall again. Yeah? Because in the eyes of God, the most important is your humility, your trust in Him, in His love, your openness to His love. To trust, to believe that you are loved as you are. Not a situation that you can show off yourself, look at me, Lord, I am pure now. I am pure, so give me a medal, yes? Give me a medal for my faithfulness to you. Like a prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. Actually, it is a story not about prodigal son. It is a story about the older son, yes? He was faithful to his father. He followed his orders. Yeah? But when the younger brother came back home, the situation showed totally different a picture of the older brother. First of all, he didn't want to forgive his younger brother. He didn't call him, my brother came back. What he said, your son came back home. So first of all, he didn't want to be forgive and to be reconciled with his younger brother. And secondly, this situation showed or proved that he didn't love his father. However, he was good. He obeyed all his commandments, but he wanted to do everything for himself. So this situation showed his tremendous, huge pride. Yeah, huge pride. And as a result of this situation, what was it? He didn't want to join the party. In the gospel, in the biblical language, party, the banquet, is what? It's a symbol of heaven. He didn't want to go in to the house. He stayed outside. And the father left his guests, and he wanted to kind of, you know, debate with his son to convince him that there's no reason to be sad or angry with me. Let us rejoice because your brother came back home. Now he's alive. So the father, the kind of ironic situation, this bad guy is in the house, yes, in communion, but the good guy stayed outside. So the father has to convince the older son to come back. You see? So confession, the idea is to experience God, the main idea of this beautiful sacrament is to experience God's love, not only once, but all the time. Through baptism made us anew and free from the blemish of sin. It has not, what I mentioned already, it has not destroyed our weakness, our inclinations, yeah? To in relation to sin. No, the inclination to sin, yes. God gives us the sacrament of penance as a spiritual healing. A way to remove sin when we fall into it. Healing. But it is a constant healing. Constant healing. Yes? That's why the church, in her wisdom, invites us to go to confession on a regular basis. Not, we don't have to commit heavy, grave sins in order to go to confession. But even having little weakness, seeing our pride, struggling with our problems, spiritual problems, yeah, we may experience that I am in need of God's love, of forgiveness, of healing, not only because of my grave sin, but I am in need of God's healing all the time. So I can come back to confession many times. Receive this grace. So I invite you to go to confession on a regular basis. Some people go to confession once a month. Some people even have this twice a month. Some people go to confession before Christmas, before Easter, on special occasions, maybe on birthday. That's a beautiful day when you go to confession on your birthday. Yes, to renew your relationship with God and with the church. I don't encourage people to go to confession too often, because you may fall into the trap of what? Of scrupulosity. Scrupulosity, yes? So, sometimes people, in that case, in a very extreme situation, people think that they should go to confession every second day. Yeah? Because, maybe this thought came across my mind, I need to go to confession. No. So, it is a danger of falling into this trap of scrupulosity. Yeah? So, in that case, if you are scrupulous, you should have a confessor, one priest, who can help you to deal with this problem. But it is a very extreme situation. Another extreme is what? I don't have to go to confession. For what? I'm holy. I'm a saint. Yes? Now I need to apply for a special document that the Vatican should canonize me, yes? You know? Special request. So, that's I don't have to go to confession. Why should I go to the priest? He's a sinner too. Yes, he is. Yes. So, that's another extreme. When you do not feel any desire of forgiveness, Because it is, why? Because of a pride. We have it in extreme both ways. We have dealing with a pride. Scrupulosity is a sign of pride. It's pride of perfection. Yes? And this soul suffers because does not want to accept any kind of weakness. Yeah? And the other extreme situation is pride, that I do not see any sin in myself. Which is not true. Which is not true. Yes? So that's why in this case we need to deal with the situation, and perhaps we need to talk with a priest who can help us to deal with this. Going to confession. Confession must be made out of sincere desire to live a faith. For confession to be fully worthwhile, the penitent is the person who goes to confession. So at that moment you are called penitent. Penitent must be contrite. What is a contrition? Contrite.
Sorry.
Contrition, that comes from a Latin word, contritio. Contritio, it is like it's a no rain for a long time, the ground is what?
Dry.
So you have to, it's difficult to throw any seed. So you have to what? To break it up. Yes? Yeah? Contrit, that's the Latin word means break up. Yeah, break up. You know, this massive, solid ground. So, to make fertile, open to the seed and to accept what? The water. Yes? That our soul, our heart, could be like this. Like a land, rocky ground. Oh, that's what I was looking for. Rocky ground. So, sometimes by this we need to break. Yes, that's a contrition. Contrition means. This is most important. I have to recognize, yes, what I did is a sin. I committed a sin. I did something wrong, evil, against God and my brother and sister. Yes, that's a contrition. Sorrow for a sin. Yes, that's a contrition. A resolve to avoid sin in the future. It is very important. However, you may be aware that you may fall again. But at least, at the moment of confession, when you are in the presence of the priest, yeah, you have to make a kind of resolution. I will try to avoid this occasion that leads me to sin or causes me to fall. Yeah? I have to try. I cannot accept it. Oh, it's okay. It's fine. Yeah? So this resolution is also very important. Then we go to confess our sins for mortal sins according to the special numbers as mentioned. And making act of contrition. Yes, making act of contrition. Which what? Which is what? It's a special prayer. Act of contrition, right here. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for all my sins, because I dread the loss of heaven, and I feel the pain of hell. But most of all, because they offend thee, who are all good and deserving all my love, I firmly intend, with the help of thy grace, to confess my sins, to do penance, and to avoid what leads me to sin. See? To do my penance and to avoid what leads me to sin. So this is an act of contrition. You can make, so your homework is what? To memorize it. Yeah? But you can make up your own act of contrition. I was taught in Poland when I came from, I was taught in a very simple way. Because not every child was able to memorize it. Yeah? But it's a very simple act of contrition. When you say to God at this moment, yes, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. This is an act of contrition. Or, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Yes? When you realize. So you put yourself at the foot of a cross. Yes? And you realize what you did is wrong. When you hurt God. Yeah? And when you say to God, yes, I am so, Lord. Yes? Act of contrition can be perfect and imperfect. Perfect contrition, would be good to have perfect contrition. Because this perfect contrition truly heals us. Why the confession does not heal us? Because our act of contrition is imperfect. Imperfect, it means I go to confession out of fear of losing my life, eternal life. Not because of God's love, but because of only myself. I want to feel myself good. Yes, that's imperfect contrition. Yeah, I don't feel good. I've been committing this sin, I feel that I'm like a pig. Yeah, so I need to get rid of the stuff, do it, yeah, and I feel great. So it is not Christ-centered confession. It is what? Ego-centered confession. You do it because of yourself. But even in this situation, this act of contrition, imperfect contrition, is enough, is sufficient to receive valid confession. Yeah? Even if you do it for the sake of yourself. Perfect contrition is if you, it is a certain process, yeah, of, it depends on our openness to God's love. If you go make a confession knowing that you hurt Jesus, you hurt His love, and you do it for the sake of Him. So, you don't put emphasis on yourself. You don't wallow into self-pity. But you do it for who? For Jesus. Like Jean Vianney said, when you commit sin, you crucify Jesus. You crucify Jesus again. Yeah? But when you go to confession, yeah, you let Jesus to rise again in you. So you do it for Jesus. Yeah? For Jesus. That's a perfect contrition is. And the priest gives you something to do. Of course, Jesus did penance for us. We don't have to do it. But in confession also, we are judged by God, and the priest at this moment is also like a judge. Yeah? And because we do confession not only to receive God's mercy, but also to do justice. To do justice. And so, especially when you hurt someone, the priest will give you something to do as your penance. Yeah? For your penance, you say one Hail Mary. Or, for example, one decade of the rosary. Or you can go to buy your flowers to your wife, for example. Yeah? If you argue with your wife and you hurt your wife, so at least buy a beautiful bouquet of flowers, yeah, and go to your wife and apologize to your wife. That would be penance. Good. Yeah? Or to buy a nice favorite cake for your mother-in-law, for example. Yeah? Whatever, yes. So that's a penance, yeah. Or of course, if we confess I stole money from my sister, from my brother, or whoever, yes. So, probably your penance would be what? Make reparation, to bring this money back, yes? In that case, if you steal money from someone, you don't have to do it. You, of course, you'll be asked to bring money back, if it's possible, but you don't have to do it publicly. You can do it in secret. Yes, you can do it in secret. Yeah. Or, for example, if you sometimes it's very difficult. Depends on situation. Difficult to repair or to fix certain damage that we make. Yeah. No. But the priest will give you something at least that you can as a reparation, yeah, as a kind of restitution, yeah, for this damage that you made, especially to someone who's close to you. Yes? So penance is very important. So when you go to confession, you need to mention, did you do your penance? Have you done your penance or not? Maybe we could carry on.
Okay, let's get together again at about 10 o'clock.